If it's time to refinance, talk to BOQ. Visit boq.com.au/better.
Welcome to the catch up. Great show. I really enjoyed this segment, Kyle.
Accidentally gay.
Oh, I loved it too. Accidentally gay. When men touch men, and we had some terrific calls. They were very funny. So make sure you stick around for the catch up and catch accidentally gay.
Do you mind if I get something off my chest very quickly?
Yeah,
I didn't say
on.
It on air. And Marto's just left the studio. But when I first started here, we had a little bit of a moment that was a bit accidentally gay. I was sort of leaning on a bar and I was about to leave the establishment we were in, and Marto sort of, I said, oh, bye everyone, and Marto reached across me and I was like, oh, he wants a cuddle. So I've gone in and I've given a big sensual cuddle, a big bear hug, and he goes, no, I'm trying to get the drink behind you, you idiot. And there I was latched onto him. And
like
I felt,
a limpet.
Yeah, I felt very...
Okay. Do you feel better?
A little bit. It's nice to get that off my chest.
This is such a boy thing, great. Which I never really understood, despite the fact that I have homework because I've got to do what? Accidentally lesbian, apparently? That's not
yeah,
gonna
that's
happen.
Right. We want to know when you were accidentally lesbian. Hey, Bobby Shriekman was in too, and he wants to go fishing with Marto and the boys out at Snapper Rocks.
We had the crime squad. We had a great story about Stephen Bradbury.
That was wonderful. You just ran into him by chance.
Yeah. He's amazing. What he's done with his life in that moment when he won that gold medal. He could have become a fireman and worked part-time at his parents' ice rink, but no, he's taken over the world and sending Australians to Japan.
And another favourite today, God, it was a chock-full show, which teacher would have shot you and why? Talking about teachers being armed in the US.
That needs context, and you will get it in the catch-up. Enjoy your weekend. Don't waste your life.
I'm very excited about this next segment.
I'm very nervous about
yeah, me
this.
Too.
I know what makes, you're going to start talking about.
Makes me laugh. Okay, the segment is called Accidentally Gay.
Okay. Accidentally
gay.
Accidentally gay.
Okay, why?
Okay, so I'll give you an example of when I was accidentally gay. So I'm on a plane and I come to my seat and there's a guy sitting on the aisle edge of the row.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put some stuff in the overhead locker and I take my bag. It's a bit heavy and I'm a little bit unbalanced, and so I'm leaning right in on him and
forward.
My junk is pressing against the side of his head.
His head.
As I get onto tiptoes and hoist this thing in, and he kind of like just rolls his eyes up at me. And I thought, that's
accidentally gay.
I've just basically frottaged the side of a guy's head.
That's magnificent. Have you ever sat down? Because you don't often sit really close to each other when you're men. But
okay.
When you've got shorts on, I think it's all right if you've got pants or jeans on and your legs touch. When you got both got shorts on and the hairs of your legs touch, is that?
Gay.
Well, if you start to feel aroused by it, I think I'm too embarrassed to move.
Okay, see my face? This is not a conversation I don't think I have ever been privy
to. Okay, we'll just keep listening then, because you know in footy, when you tackle someone and you realise that soft bit when you've locked your arms around them.
Yeah.
Might be.
Accidentally gay.
Do you reckon?
Or some, especially if you're in the showers and you're just kind of staring into the middle distance because you're lost in your thoughts, and when you refocus, you realise you've just been staring straight at somebody's willy.
Accidentally gay.
That's almost on purpose.
I have a confession to make.
You got one?
I went to hug one of my taller friends yesterday, and I accidentally brushed his neck with my lips. Which I feel constitutes
gay.
Now, we've got nothing wrong with it,
What
by
about
the way.
Merv
no,
you?
Oh, yeah, we've got like, no issue with it.
Vote yes, marriage equality, we love it, but we're just not used to that.
You know when you're on a bus or train and you're not hanging on to the thing and that breaks suddenly and you bump into a bloke.
Bang.
And you're
gay.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think so.
Yeah, we're talking about times when you are accidentally gay, when you've come into contact with another man against your sexual predilection. Like we said, we are right behind our rainbow LGBTQI friends here. Oh. But occasionally men are
accidentally gay.
See, it happens to them.
Okay, 133353.
I don't
apparently
think we're going to get any calls.
When have you been?
Accidentally gay.
Like at work, you're laying a bit of carpet. You know, you're laying the carpet. All right, so let people ring.
You're laying some carpet.
Yeah, and you bump into your mate. Oh, sorry.
No.
Gay. Concerningly, we have too many examples. When have you been accidentally gay?
Well, you know, you're driving along in your ute or your truck and you reach over to the glove box and there's a bloke in the passenger seat and you accidentally brush his upper thigh.
Gay.
Is it?
Sounds like you're doing a bit of that.
It's apparently a thing.
Have you never been accidentally lesbian?
No, but I think women are much more touchy-feely. It would never occur to me.
We'll give you the weekend to think about it.
Not just touchy-feely, but sending the wrong signals, maybe wearing a particular thing or going to a particular place where someone goes, oh, yeah.
Well, like when I was 17 and 18 and growing up in Sydney, I used to go to Oxford Street to the gay clubs because they were safe. And that was great when they were full of lots of gay boys because they're so fun to party with.
Are they?
But sometimes the women in those establishments would be a little confused as to why I was there and I wasn't interested in them.
What were you wearing?
Ever try and pick you up?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Overalls? Do you have overalls on?
No. Okay. I never wore an overall. Yeah.
Have you ever had a lesbian experience? I'm sorry.
Let's get back to accidentally gay.
David of Burley Heads.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hey. I hope this is cathartic, Dave. Have you always wanted to get this story out in the open?
It's probably not a story that I want to advertise, really, but yeah, I think it's funny.
What happened?
About 20 years ago or something like that, I used to work in a factory with about 20 to 30 blokes, and sometimes you'd stop and stare and, you know, like you'd stop what you're doing and then have a little break for about a minute and stare into space or wherever.
Know what you mean.
And then I found myself unwittingly staring at a co-worker's bum in front of me on a couple of occasions. during the time I was there.
Yes. We laugh about it now, can't we?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. It was a bit serious, you know, like when there was a couple of other blokes watching from the other side of the factory and thinking, hey, this guy, look at this guy. He's looking at this guy's bum. He must be gay, you know, or something like that. But I realised I was just sort of taking time out from working.
That's okay, Dave.
Okay.
Sometimes you just need to appreciate the male form as well.
Yeah. I hope that's helped, Dave.
How much do you appreciate the male form, Brendo?
Let's go to Warwick from Woodridge.
Hey, Warwick.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate.
Good. When were you accidentally gay, Warwick?
A workmate and I were looking at, he was showing me some photos on his phone of some other co-workers, and one of the boys in the picture on the phone was sticking his tongue out all weird and sticking out the side of his mouth, and we both imitated it, looking at the phone, and our tongues touched.
Oh, no.
It was horrific.
The moon man would know about tongue touching, wouldn't he?
Yeah, if you
my brother made me kiss him.
That's a goodie from Warwick. It started awkward. That's what these conversations are quite awkward to have. Dave, are you all right? Or is it Daniel?
No, it's Daniel.
Daniel. You okay?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was out exercising with my mate and I was spotting for him when he was doing bench. And as he finished his set, I squat down to, you know, spot him and teabagged him in the forehead.
Do you
at least we went back to his and he bought me breakfast.
Great. That's nice.
You all feel better now, boys? Got it out of your system? Can we move on?
There's some jocks, Daniel.
Didn't like that?
No.
Well, you've got all weekend.
Just hanging out.
I've got all weekend to watch.
It's accidentally lesbian
no,
day on
I'm
Monday.
No, I'm all good. I think I'm okay.
Have a think about some of the incidents in your life.
Have a think about it.
Connect a few dots.
Christmas Triple M.
There's a million stories in this dirty city, and this is just one of them. It's time for the Big Breakfast Crime Squad. We are out here, and we're protecting you when things go wrong. Just pray that Sergeant Mardo, Deputy Commissioner Robin Bailey, and Captain Mooney are on the job. And, of course, Brendo from the lab.
I'm just
what kind
lab.
Of samples are you looking at, Brendo?
You know what samples I'm looking at?
Analyzing
Please stop
stains.
Sending them. They're all of you.
Now, this case we're on at the moment, it came to me from a neighbour. He said there'd been a break-in the other night at the Mason Lodge in Ann Street.
Oh, wow.
I said, we'll look into it.
Sonic Hall, eh?
So, stonemasons, right?
Well, that's what they are. Well, they're called Freemasons, but they did start as stonemasons. They're just little society. They're a group of upstanding men who do good things.
Don't they vacuum a goat as an initiation
process? No, listen,
process?
Mate. Listen, that is not right. They discuss things that are issues in society. You're not allowed to know what they do. Anyway,
what's happened?
All right, the other night someone broke in and he said, can you have a look into it as the crime squad? And next thing you know, it was on the news and I'll let the reporter take up the story. I don't want to take all the
glory.
Glenn Langford was arrested last night, naked, lying amongst the pipes of an organ in the Masonic Memorial Centre, allegedly breaking in and flooding the heritage-listed building, activating the fire alarm.
Oh, there's a lot to think about. they're the facts.
He's
man.
Lying naked. Did he turn up naked or did he take his clothes off? Because
Hold on.
He flooded the pipe organ.
He must have been having a dark. Well, hold on. There's more. Let's hear a little few more of the facts of the case.
Authorities found him in the Grand Hall, along with clothes, a remote-controlled police car, and toy gun.
Pluto.
Amongst the organ pipes.
Nude with these police remote control toy.
Yeah. He's got he's having the night of his life, isn't he?
So you're right with all the we interviewed him and we got a few more facts straight from the horse's mouth.
Things just got a little bit loose.
Why did you get naked?
I can't explain that at the moment.
No. Not I so can't often remember. That happens with us sometimes, but you know.
Sounds like a real snowboarder, that bloke.
Yeah. So he's had the bottle of whiskey. He's had the cheeseburgers. Well, he knows he's got a problem, okay? And that's a good thing. You can turn your life around.
Yeah, it's out of it. I'm going to see a shrink and don't drink.
It's for the best.
Yep. Yeah. See a shrink and don't think. Oh, he should have that tattooed across his chest, this bloke. Anyway, he wants to say sorry, so case solved.
I apologise to all the righteous Freemasons everywhere.
There it is.
The righteous Freemasons.
not the scumbags Freemasons.
Good on you, Sergeant Marto. Yeah. Another case closed.
Case solved.
They hit the streets. God damn it.
All the school shootings. It doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed because my daughter I'm not going to see again.
Not happy. That was awful. My father of one of the students killed last week in the when 17 children were slain. Now, it's serious, and Trump had a meeting with about 30 or 40 parents who have lost children, making sure it appears that he's listening, and all he could come up with, it's just a joke.
It is a joke.
USA is a joke. Trump's a joke. We all know that. The only response he could have was that football coach who stepped last week, who stepped in front of children and took the bullets, wore the bullets, and ended up dying. This is what he had to say about that dude.
If he had a firearm, he wouldn't have had a run. He would have shot, and that would have been the end of it.
That's the logic going on. Now, I sat there and watched it and thought, whoa.
Yeah, he's saying that teachers should be armed and that's how we're going to stop all this mess in schools.
Let's not worry about the states. They'll take care of themselves. Let's just think of it happening in Australia. If John Howard many years ago said, let's give teachers guns. Can you imagine their teachers especially? They were such aggressive. I remember one of my teachers, I don't want to throw him in, Mr. Vincent, if he had a gun, he was in World War II too.
Why would he have shot you?
Oh, because he was always throwing dusters. That was his specialty, hitting you in the head with dusters. If he had a handgun in the drawer, he would have had a go at all stages. Can you imagine? I rang a teacher friend of ours last night. She said I'd kill 8 of my children.
What, not her own kids, but her class kids?
No, class kids. Just because if somebody gave her a gun,
she would have taken.
Science teacher called Ray License, and Ray was on the edge, and so we thought we'd push him over.
That's your job as a school child.
That's your job, to make a teacher crack. So Paul Hart said, everyone get their own animal noise.
Oh, dear.
And when Ray turns around to write on the board, I'll give the signal and we all do our animals.
Or farmyard.
And so like 20 kids screaming out, mooing, chickens, dogs. Oh, God, it was funny. Laughing so hard. And Ray turns around and then with silence, like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And he turns around to write on the board, and I'm a dog. I'm going, hur, 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 hur. And he turns around and he goes, Moody, stop barking. He had a gun.
If he had a gun.
Yeah. Okay, so basically you want to talk about dodgy teachers
that's what I really want to talk about.
In their moment,
teacher who would have been most likely to and why. What would have caused the teacher to pull the drawer out and go, I'm going to have to shoot you.
And quite possibly justifiably, I reckon. Yeah.
Okay. Who was it? Which teacher did you annoy so much he would have shot you?
Paul from Stockley. Who was it?
We had a teacher in year 8 named Mr. Azar. He was our science teacher. Mm-hmm. And the little turds that we used to chew up pieces of paper and spit them through our pens.
Yes.
And spit balls. Yeah, we used to spit them at him. But there was an episode that me and a couple of mates used to wash cars down at our local shopping centre. And he actually tried to sideswipe us with his car. So I guarantee if he had a gun, I reckon he would have laid a couple into us.
Fair enough. You get the idea, right. Paul.
Thanks for buying into the whole concept. Because he'd get off that, wouldn't he? He'd go, they were hitting me with spitballs. That's starting it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a defence,
Brad of Sandstone Point. Who was it? What did you do?
My teacher was named Mr. Haycox, and a few of us used to call him Straw Dick.
Of course he did.
He did not like it at all, and even to the point where we'd walk into the class and good morning, sir, trying to be nice, and he would just explode and kick us out before we even walked in the door. So he definitely would have unleashed with a gun if he had
Brad,
the chance.
When you said Mr. Haycox, did you used to put a big hyphen between the hay and the cock?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Hay.
Okay. Cock.
He was very sensitive about that.
Oh, I'm sure. I have leases to buy you lot. Thanks,
Brad.
What a
rotten name for a teacher. Some of them, they couldn't win a trick with their names. Phil from Calangor. Who was the teacher and why would he have shot you?
Mate, I had Mr. Schaefer. Now, he was an angry German science teacher.
Oh, your phone's terrible.
Sorry, Phil.
You're
going to have to get a bit closer to the phone. Try that again. Who was it?
Mr. Schaefer, and he was an angry German
Okay, so Mr. Schaefer was an angry German science teacher, and he set his lab coat on fire.
Oh, the Bunsen burner.
That's a
burning
that's
my
a
lab
shooting
coat.
Offense.
Pass my Luger. Got to shoot somebody.
That's the big breakfast on Triple M.
Sounds like Billy Idol works in the Apple shop. Turn it off and start again.
You've been to one.
I was, I've been away from home, as you know, doing the show in Adelaide for the last few days. And, man's mind gets to a wandering in a hotel room alone.
No, come on. Don't.
Looking for a little bit of internet company.
Oh, don't.
And so.
Don't be creepy.
There's things on the internet that you can look at.
Yeah, just research.
For your own enjoyment, edification and stimulation. And so most men know their way around deleting a history. So,
have you ever seen that one?
If you passed away in the middle of the night, your mum doesn't find it on your computer or your wife or somebody close to you. Sorry, Marta.
Guilty dogs. You showed me that one the other day.
Yeah,
guilty dogs. They're ashamed of themselves, these dogs.
Yeah. Their owners come home and something's chewed up. They go, did you do this? And they just look down. Well, yeah, that's how I was feeling.
That's what you're talking about on the internet,
yeah, that's right.
You know what people find
so anyway,
stuff.
I wanted to get rid of my internet history and I went actually into preferences to get rid of like the cache, is it, where all the websites are logged. I couldn't get rid of it and these websites kept recurring, so I was like, I got a bit panicky. So I went online, it's like, how do you empty your cache? And some online technician goes, go library/safari/cache, put it into go to folder. And when then that file comes up, delete it. So I'm doing an editorial, like a
tutorial sort of thing.
Tutorial online. And so I get the library, get the blah, 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 and delete. Anyway, I delete my library. I was actually on air doing it in between the breaks on Tuesday morning. And I said, oh, no, something's happened. And every document just turned into question marks and X's.
I thought you did mention that.
Even the websites.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. First of all, I've done something wrong and shameful, and then I did something wrong to my computer. And so I went into Apple. It's like, oh, hi, how are you? And I said, oh, good. So the woman goes, so what's the problem? I said, oh, what happened was I ran it through the process and I've deleted what looks like the language off the computer. And she goes, why were you doing that? And I said, oh, I was trying to
delete.
It doesn't matter. And she goes, no, what were you trying to do? And I said, and she goes, oh, were you trying to empty your cache? and just looked at me and I went, no, don't know what you're talking about. She goes, I'll get a technician over, meaning I'll get a bloke to talk to you.
I want
out of this deal straight away.
You're like a 14-year-old going into a chemist to get your first condom.
The man helped me. He was very understanding.
Okay, so now hang on. So if you got back everything, did you still get back the things that you were trying to delete?
Everything.
Yeah, they're on there. They are burnt into some hard drive deep in this vile computer.
Look, Mark, Big Breakfast, Triple M. He's our man with all the Hollywood goss.
It's Bobby Shriekman. Oh, Bobby.
Hello, Fridays are just, make me so excited. The weekend beckons. I'm sitting up here. I'm in a bubble bath, Robbo, and I am looking forward to the weekend.
What are you going to do on the weekend then, Bobby?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch the closing ceremony of the Winter Olympics. Bye-bye, ice skaters. And then I'm going to watch a special compilation of the ice dancing. Oh, I love the costumes. I love the spinning. And I just wish I was one of those female ice dancers. I love it when the male just picks them up by the crunker and holds them over their head. Ooh. Just imagine how good that feels.
Okay. A little bit. Let's talk celebrity, Shriekman. Jennifer Aniston. Justin Theroux, they were together. They appears they're separated. Then I read in Women's Day that she's going to remarry Brad Pitt. Where's it all standing? Could I believe what I read in the mags?
You can believe every word in the magazines. They're called books, by the way. They're a beautiful primary source. Oh, Jennifer, she can't find true love, can she? Justin's had his problems with the Uncle Dougs, as you call them down under, the drugs. Oh. He has to walk away because Jennifer, she doesn't mind the truth. She's like your mates out at Snapper Rock, Marto. Whatever you call it. I wouldn't mind coming down there and going fishing, if you know what I mean. Okay. Oh, pass me a rod.
And what about Brendan Fraser? He's come out with the whole hashtag me too.
Oh, Brendan. Yeah, he disappeared for a while, traumatised. He'd been touched up and Harvey's like, anyway, Brendan, what an oeuvre he's got. What a body of work. I mean, who can remember the nut job? No one. What about the movie he did, Monkey Bone? Hello, there's a theme. What about George of the Jungle? And the Mummy. Mummy. I love Brendan. Good luck. Glad to see you back.
Enjoy the bubble bath, Shriekman.
Marto, I'm just lying back. Anyway, hello to you, Moon Man. Hello to you too, Brendo. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Gee, right across. He's our man of football. The Hollywood
Goss is Bobby Shriekman. If you're still hanging in there with the Winter Olympics, you would have seen that the speed skating has been on over the last 24 hours.
Spectacular fails of people pinging off everywhere.
Awesome. And it just so happened that yesterday I ran into and got to have a conversation with Australia's most famous Winter Olympian.
Bradbury.
Who also happened to be a speed skater, yes.
Oy.
Stephen Bradbury. Now, for those of you that don't remember, he won our first ever gold medal in 2002 in Salt Lake City in the speed skating. And this, in his own words, is what happened.
Last man standing is what I was dubbed by the world's media after that race. I trained for 12 years, competed for Australia in 4 Winter Olympic Games. The main reason that I was there in Salt Lake City was to put some demons to rest. In Canada 1994, I was impaled on the back of a rival skate. Got my leg cut open, almost lost my life. 18 months before winning that gold medal, I had a crash in training, went headfirst into the barrier and broke my neck. I'd skated at 3 Winter Olympics and I hadn't done my best at any of them, and I just wanted to skate my best. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the other 3 tumble, and from that moment I knew that I didn't have to skate anymore. All I had to do was glide across the finish line. I wasn't sure if I should put my arms up in the air in celebration or go and hide in the corner. Had no idea what the appropriate response was at that moment. I suppose in some people's mind, the question will always remain, did I win Olympic gold by accident? Half a dozen blokes had just fallen over and they wanted me to go up there and take a gold medal for it. I wasn't sure if I deserved to. I only had a few minutes to think about it, but during that few minutes I decided, yeah, I'm going out there on the podium and I'm taking that gold medal, but I'm not taking it for the 90 seconds of that race. I'm going to take it for the 12 years in the lead up to that 90 seconds.
Okay. Mm. That certainly sets the scene, because I said to Steve yesterday, what are you doing now? Now, that was 16 years ago, and you said to me, Marto, that you had him in straight after that Olympics.
Straight after that Olympics, we had him in at Triple M. I remember I was working with Fat Cat, and he was tremendous. And we said, well, what are you going to do now? Well, you know, well done. He said, I'm going to become a fireman. Haven't seen him. I haven't seen him since then. I've seen him around, but
haven't made that dream come true.
Well, I can tell you what he's doing. And here is a guy who took a moment in his life where he could have been completely embarrassed and hidden away and said, yep, I've got a gold medal, so what? I'm going to be a fireman.
Or his parents own Ice World. Yeah, they used to.
Yeah. But instead, he went, I'm going to create something for myself. And in those last 16 years, let me tell you what he's doing now. Yeah. He has got himself, he's doing motivational speech. All around the world.
So he's still got the mullet?
Kinda. Yeah. No, he looks, he says it sometimes, he gets confused for Billy Idol.
the blondie mullet, yeah.
But he bought into a ski resort in Japan called Aqua Alpine. Yeah. And because of that, they put in a Bradbury bar and attracted Australians.
Heaps of Aussies go to Japan
every
year now.
Heaps of Aussies go there. And because he now does all this motivational speaking right around the world, he's just launched, or it's up and running. It's called JapanPowder.com, and it's an online travel agency for people, Australians, wanting to go to Japan and ski. And he has made an absolute mozzer and fortune and done very well for himself by taking that moment and that gold medal and going, I am absolutely proud of who I am.
But that term has entered our language.
Yeah.
Is you've done a Bradbury if everyone else has fallen over and you've glided through and had a win.
But how cool is that?
That is great. Maybe doing a Bradbury is now, you know, taking that moment and realising a dream. Because I understand completely when he says it could have been a very embarrassing thing, because it became, in a way, a bit of a joke, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, look at this, how typically Aussie, you know, just turn up and win gold.
But the reality was he had to get in. He had to beat about 40 other skaters just to get into the final.
But if you look at the gold medal presentation, right, when he actually gets up and they call his name and he steps up, he's almost embarrassed.
Is he really?
Yeah. You see him put his head down and then you see him kind of going, well, you know what? The gold's around my neck, people. Look at me go.
But if you went to, you wouldn't like to go to a lunch where he was speaking, because he's really only got the one story, hasn't he?
Well, except though that if you look at his motivational speech, he gets people up on stage and gets them to
knocks them over.
I think it's safe to say that on the Big Breakfast, I am the person that stays across all the women's magazines, although Marto does pretend occasionally to look through Women's Day.
I only take them to give them to my wife.
Of course you do, except you know what goes on with Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux, which scares me a little bit. Anyway, Who Weekly?
You've got to go to the toilet at some stage.
Oh, you don't, do you?
The Women's Day. Yeah. Oh, Kath Spott's coming out of the toilet with it. She'll never touch it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Who Weekly came out yesterday, and not surprisingly, Jennifer Aniston is on the front cover, but I've been flicking through it, and I came to a story about Amy Schumer. Now, for those of you that don't know, she's an American comedian whose her two movies that have done quite well recently are Snatched with Goldie Hawn and Trainwreck.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, she was she in Bridesmaids? No.
She should have been, but she wasn't. Anyway.
Is she large-ish?
She's probably a size 12, 12 to 14.
Okay.
She's a healthy
weight. But normal. Anyway, she got married recently, and there's some beautiful photos of this summer wedding and her in a gorgeous frock, and all of that is fine, except you get to the last photo, and there are her two dogs walking down the aisle. One dressed as a bride and one dressed as a groom.
Ah, cute.
No, that is not cute.
It is okay, so cute, and you know it.
I want to open a can of worms about putting dogs in outfits.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
It shouldn't happen.
I'm with you.
Not ever. Sorry.
Well, yes, it should. Dogs should be a part of everything that the family celebrates.
But they weren't meant to have clothes on.
No, and especially not novelty clothes. I get it if you've got a greyhound
that needs a coat.
Oh, no, I don't even think coats.
Well, if they're
cold. A friend of mine said he sees, you know, the little coats that they have on greyhounds because they're thin dogs. He said he'd love to see one in a track suit.
Like their owners. Look, the trainers.
No.
Track suit and thongs. I'd like to see a dog wear thongs.
No, you wouldn't.
That's funny. Yeah. Do you dress your dog up, Moon?
I put glasses on Rupert if he's sitting on the couch.
Oh,
put glasses on him. Yeah, and he looks like he's intelligently enjoying the television, actually.
Does he like it?
Do you take photos and then post them somewhere?
Yeah, I'm going to send you some photos.
Oh, good.
He does actually like it because he feels included. And then He'll sit there and leave the glasses on, which I just think is hilarious. And then eventually,
are they your glasses?
Yeah, they're my glasses. These ones I'm wearing.
Oh, so
I put them on Rupert.
So he's in the meantime looking through these glasses, going, "What the hell? Yeah.
What happened to my eyes?"
Lucky I've got a keen sense of
Dad,
smell.
What have you done with my eyes?
Anyway, back to the point in hand. Mm. I'm sorry. I am definitely going to say dogs do not belong in outfits.
Is it poodles and pugs? Are they the mainly dressed up dogs?
Or the little ones, the little fluffy muffins? Oh no, we're just seeing a photo, which we will put up on our Facebook page of Rupert. With
is that your dog? Dog there.
What if he's
with
sunglasses?
He's wearing some sunnies as well.
Oh, Lord.
Because he's cute.
No, he's not.
Stupid idiot.
Well, the statement is dogs don't belong in outfits, and you can agree or disagree on 133353.
Trent of Ripley, what do you think?
Oh, they absolutely do.
Okay.
Good on you, Trent.
What's your dog and what do you put him in?
I had a 16-year-old Safi up until last week, and I dressed her up in hats and jackets and anything I could find to dress her in, yeah.
But why? She's a Staffy.
She was a white Staffy. So when you're doing, especially out in the sun when they get sunburned, it was all sun care basically.
Oh.
Okay, I can't argue with that. Sun smart Staffy is a good idea, but was she embarrassed?
Yep. Oh, no, she loved it. We didn't leave home without a hat. She would not hop in the car unless she had her hat on.
A proper doggy hat.
Slip, slop, slap.
Proper doggy hat.
Yep. Oh, right. I can't argue with that.
I still think it's wrong.
Try Emma. Emma.
Hi, how you going?
You're out at Ascot. Now, what sort of dog and what was your policy?
Well, I have a pug, so I'm guilty of dressing up my dog, but I also have a dog fashion label. So I say, yes, dogs should be dressed up.
Okay.
And our customers buy multiple versions of different designs for their dogs. It's a huge market.
Really?
What are we talking, like cowboy outfits or is they fur coats? What are people buying?
No, mainly coats, different denim. Denim is really big at the moment.
Denim and
denim dogs?
Yeah, double denim dogs. Yep, nice. There's some great denim jackets around. Denim goes crazy. Furs. We got a few cow print, animal print.
Do you make a living out of this?
Yes, yeah.
Give it a plug,
so
Emma.
So I sell into the US. It's Winston Manor, and I sell in Australia as well. But in the US, it's a $60 billion market, the dog market.
Did you say billion?
Yeah.
What, dog outfits?
Dogs in general. So pet grooming, dog outfits,
the whole
dog
thing.
Food. The whole lot.
Now, you got a pug. Have you heard of Doug the Pug? I think he's the world's most famous.
Who's Doug the Pug?
He's the world's most famous pug, isn't he, Emma?
Yeah, he is.
Dresses
I think
up a lot.
Something like 2 million followers.
I think he wears makeup.
Pretty popular.
No, he doesn't.
Does he wear makeup sometimes, Emma?
Yeah, dog makeup. No. Haven't thought of it.
Yeah, and he's always eating food.
Classic Dougie. Thank you, Emma, and good luck with your business. But I've got Laura V, who's Australia's leading dog behaviourist. Yeah, our mate. She's got her book, Dognitive Therapy. Laura, help me.
G'day. It's so funny, but you know what? I am a 35-year-old woman without any children and two dogs. I kind of fit into this stereotype of wanting to dress my dogs up as well.
You're a fur baby person.
Do you know what, though? I think it's totally fine if your dog is up for it. So, you know, if there's treats involved or if they're putting their denim jacket on and they're going for a walk, then that's fine. But sometimes you do kind of cringe when you see dogs on Instagram with their sunnies and their painted nails and their big fluffy tutu and stuff. And I'm like, oh, is that really for the dog or is it way more for the person who doesn't have kids? What do you guys reckon?
Yeah.
Two of us reckon you shouldn't dress up your dog, and one weirdo.
I think you should.
Do you reckon, Warren, you should?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you dress up your dog?
Yes, he does. Hats and glasses mainly.
Okay.
Those photos will be posted on our Facebook page.
Laura, do the dogs know? Like, and are they? Do they care? Are they embarrassed by it? Do they enjoy it?
Oh, dogs have got no shame, which is great because, you know, you can put a male dog in a tutu and paint his nails and he's happy to go for a walk as long as he's hanging out with you. So that's totally fine. I think it's more when we kind of treat our dogs as children. We kind of put these expectations onto them to, you know, carry them in our handbags or dress them up or, you know, talk to them in cute voices and all those sorts of things. And that's fine until your dog starts to get behavioural problems like separation anxiety or all those sorts of things, and that's where people end up calling me. And the first thing I ask them is, do you dress your dog up? No, I don't ask them that, but often that's what it goes hand in hand.
Laura V, just one more thing, because we've got you. A couple of days ago, Lawrence revealed that his dog also sleeps in his bed, as does his child and his wife and him and everything.
What good or bad dogs
in beds?
How much time have we got? Look, no, it's fine. I think I'm one of the first behaviourists that has started to say it's totally fine because dogs are our companions. It's the whole reason why we have them. Okay. And there's no evidence that shows that it's bad for your health or bad for your sleep hygiene. In fact, most people who have dogs that sleep on their bed or in their bedroom have much better sleep. So it's totally fine for you. Totally. It's great for the dog because they've always wanted to sleep with us. They've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. So everyone, invite your dog up onto your bed tonight. It's absolutely fine.
Lovely. We love having you on. LauraV.com.au for more of your work. We'll talk to you soon, Laura.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Would you like the results?
Yeah. I think I already know them.
70% saying they do belong in outfits.
They do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, loving an outfit.
Some weirdos listen to this show.
And if you'd like to see Lawrence's dog dressed up, you can Instagram Triple M Brisbane in some really cool petrol station sunglasses. Looking really... Really?
And look at that little dog.
What's that? Is that a smoking jacket?
That dog's got a scarf and a smoking jacket on.
No one else can see these, so it's not that funny.
Okay, it's the dog equivalent of Hugh Hefner.
Yes.
He's just showing us.